Before I get to Psalm 53, a couple of Sundays ago, we were looking at the family and family discipleship, leading your home in a way that would cause them to be followers of Jesus. And the last point that I didn't get to is this, that a Christian home is more than a house full of Christian people. A Christian home is more than a house full of Christian people. I've shared this with a few people, and they said, well, Christian ought to be all that we need to be. So the truth is, a home full of Christians ought to be a Christian home. But I think you see what I'm saying there, is that we have to be intentional to make sure that our homes are Christian homes. Same is true for a church. With each of those churches that we saw, when a group of people came together, there's a lot of discipleship that has to take place and teaching people about baptism, making sure people understand salvation, people helping people understand church membership. And the Lord's Supper is one of those things that required of a missionary or a church planner where they have to do a lot of teaching. And I think it's beautiful, and it's one of the first tests that they are faced with, because there's many ways we can do things differently from one church to another and one culture to another. But God outlines in Scripture what He wants when it comes to the Lord's table, and we don't get to move from that. And so we have to say, this is what God has given us in the Word, and we must teach those at our home and in our church. Last Lord's Supper, I told you how I understand how small children, they wonder what the Lord's Supper will be like. They grow up wondering. They look forward to it when they become to know Christ and they're baptized and they're part of the church. They look forward to that. I understand quite well, because I anticipate and I'm curious about the day that I sit with Jesus at that supper with Him. And it's good. And it leads to a lot of good discipleship, where we tell children, now is not the time. You are not taking of the Lord's Supper. And it's good for us as a church to recognize that this is for believers. This isn't open to all people, but there is a distinction. And so as Brother Travis will lead us in a time of reflection upon the death of Christ, others, myself and others will serve you, and you're surrounded by the people that teach the gospel. This is one of those important moments in a household of faith that we have to protect as a church and make sure that we keep a sacred and honored in the way that He would have for us to do that. Before I read to you in Psalm, I want to go back to that story of Eli who had his sons. And we saw a couple weeks ago that Eli's sons were not honoring the Lord in the way that they did things. And I want you to see in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 16, they'll put it on the screen for you, but you could turn there as well. And you're going to see something that's happening with those young men. And it says, "And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." This is in regard to the sacrifice that is being offered. The sons of Eli are coming, and their dad liked the food prepared a certain way, and he wanted it now. And they said, give it to us now. And the people said, no, it's not the time. And they took it by force. They took something that was sacred and they became selfish with it. And you see that in the life of a child, not just the life of Eli, not just the life of our children, but in adults, where we're not honoring and doing things in the way that God would have us to do. 1 Samuel 2:29 tells us how these children got to that place. 1 Samuel 2:29 says, "Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering," this is God speaking, "which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all offerings of Israel, my people." Let me first make an application to parents. It's this. Parents, if we have taken our kids to a dangerous place when we have days and times and resources that belong to God that are given over to them, there's things that are in the Bible that God says they belong to Him, and we can't give those over to anybody else. And as we raise our children, we have to say, these belong to the Lord. These times belong to the Lord. These moments belong to the Lord. And church, I want to say to you that the Lord's table belongs to Him. And so we follow it in a way that is honoring to Him. And Christians, we're in a dangerous place when we come to this service. We do not recognize the importance of that moment. The gospel, it is 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that He died for all that He should live, that which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. this time as a church is once again we say and confess that we do not live for ourselves, but we live for Him who died for us. We were all born believing that the best life would be the life that was lived for ourselves, but the gospel graciously liberated us from that and said the life that we live is for the one who has died for us. So helping one another understand this is gospel work. And parents, this is a great day of discipleship for your children. Easter Sunday morning, the Lord's Supper together, and we need to teach them that there are times, there are things that the Lord asks of us, and we do not change that. We follow it. If you're not in here, if you're in here today, and you're not a believer, or you are a believer and haven't followed the Lord in baptism, I'd like to help you. I'd like to show you from God's Word how you can know Him and join us in this at a future time. Here, Psalm chapter, well, I told you 53, which puts you awful close to where you should be, all right? Psalm 51, I want us to look at this passage before I pray, and then we will have our special. This is a great psalm as a family to go through to remind them of the gospel, and we are a family, and we want to be reminded of the gospel. Psalm 51, verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." We should see our sin and cry out for mercy before God. Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." We must understand that the nature of our sin, so we do not minimize its effect on our lives. We are not just people that make mistakes. We're not just people that aren't perfect, but we are people that have sinned against a holy God, and we need to acknowledge our transgression. We have to acknowledge our breaking of the law and come before Him. Verse 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." We must recognize that our problem is not primarily about other people or other relations, but it's before God. We have sinned against Him. And then sin is a nature problem that produces this behavior in our life. Verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me." We're all born with a broken relationship, with a sinful nature problem. And since it's a problem of the heart, the only solution is a new heart. Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And then lastly here, we'll jump down to verse 14, which reminds us of the place in which we are to run. "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the Lord's table. I want to thank you how it's been outlined for us in Scripture, how we come here, how it's simple, Lord, so that in every culture around the world, everybody could follow through with this command, that in every group of place, Lord, that somebody is sent with the Word of God, they would have what is needed to join around this table as a church family. Father, I pray for our missionaries today, and I thank you as we've seen just wonderful pictures, but I pray for them, Lord, as they will have courage, Lord, to always honor the table in a way that is according to your Word. Lord, we never take what is sacred and become selfish with it. Lord, we may not bend what you have said so clearly before us in Scripture. Lord, we come today very solemn, but rejoicing, Lord, because we know that your Son died in our place, and we come here tonight to recognize that and remember that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.